All right, let's try that again, shall
we? We're going old school today.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to try that again.
We're going old school today. Yeah. We're on the phone having some clean sheet technology issues, but my goodness, it's not going to stop us from giving you the best darn 28 minutes and 35 seconds of radio this morning.
We're working on it. We're figuring things out.
September 20th. What's that?
We're working on it. We're figuring things out, but we got a short show here. It's only going to be a 20-minute program because we got the Twins doubleheader starting at 11:30 first pitch, but 10:30 is going to be the pregame.
We're figuring it out, but today's Charlie's last show, so we had to make it happen. So we're sad Charlie's leaving us, and we can talk about more of that in a little bit, Charlie, but your last show, and all you get to do is talk to us on the phone. So,
yeah, I'm getting used to what I'm going to be doing in the future, I think. That's what's going to happen.
Right. That's right. Gophers lose to Iowa yesterday, and there's a lot to break down in this one, gentlemen. I want to start with one point, and then I'm going to turn it to you here. But the greater scheme of things here, and I'd love to know if – just tell me I'm crazy here. But I feel like now this is the third year or maybe even longer – that there's always one loss, at least one loss on the Gopher schedule with P.J. Fleck at the helm that we look at and we circle and we go, that just shouldn't have happened. And I feel like last night it was Iowa. Last year it was Northwestern, a team that ended up being 8-5. The year before that it was a Purdue team that went 8-6. There's always one game that you look at and you go, this should have been theirs. And, you know, remarkably – the Gophers had a great first half, and I don't want to lose the fact here that they've faced in the first 3 weeks of the season the number three running back in the nation and the number five running back in the nation, and that is important to note. But this game was theirs after a half of football. I felt like.
I mean, why are they the number three, number five running back in the nation too? You can also make that argument and see. Well, maybe it's the Gophers that helped them along a little bit. I agree. I think they're both very good running backs. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I think that they'll end the season very highly. But the fact that they've played the Gophers and each of them ran for well over 100 yards. In fact, Johnson, what, over 200 yards, I believe. 9.6 yards per carry. I'm sorry. No running back in the country should be getting 9.6 yards per carry.
Especially not on that defense.
And guys, the biggest problem that we faced was we came out a little bit different than I expected. We were throwing the ball right out of the gate, a fair amount, but we were having some success. And Iowa just stuck to who they are. And Iowa is a team that forever, under Ferenc, has an offense that can kind of seem boring probably at times for a lot of people. But they run the football, and they're going to have success running the football. And they ran it 45 times for almost 300 yards. So they did what Iowa does, and I think that we kind of got away from what we do. We only gave Darius Taylor 10 carries. I don't understand why we were never – we weren't in a position where we were down and we were kind of floundering or anything. We had, you know, the lead in the first half. By the way, there's two halves in football. We forgot about the second half completely because
we
literally could not figure that out, and it was amazing. We had some great, I think, momentum in the first half. We had a great crowd. It was unbelievable. But second half, we kind of laid an egg, and they just kept running the ball and pounding the ball, and we could not stop them. Well, it felt bad.
From the offensive side of the ball there, Pete, though, I mean, to me, the reason why they didn't run the ball more is the offensive line's run blocking has just not been there. It really is not. The pass blocking's been okay. They haven't been – Brosmer has not been getting sacked a ton. He hasn't been getting pressured a ton. But the run blocking, there's just no tenacity that it seems like they are pushing guys back. Taylor is having to make everything by himself, and he can't do it all by himself. So they've been having to pivot a little bit to maybe some short passing game, which was happening a lot. I don't know if it's even – I understand where the play calling is coming from, I guess, in that they felt they needed to pass it.
And I want to – I'll say this, Pete, because, Charlie, you and I were texting yesterday. It was a different play calling scheme. And I, for one, was happy. Charlie and I were texting back and forth, like, this is not your grandpa's Gophers. They're passing. You know, like – and I thought Brosmer in the first half – was outstanding. I mean, he went 7 of 7 on one of the touchdown drives, and he's putting the ball only where his receiver could get it. Mm-hmm. And they were just their money throws, but they did go back. And to me, and I looked at this series this morning, they're down 10 in the second half, And it's first and 10 at the 21. They go shotgun Brosmer, incomplete. Shotgun Brosmer, incomplete. And then they try for a run on 3rd and 10. Why are you running on 3rd and 10?
I spoke with Al Schock here at the station today, Al Schock on News Today, and he said that's when he got up and left. He said, you know what, if you're not even going to try there, I'm not going to stay for the rest of this game, because 3rd and 10, you're down 10 points at that point, you're in your own territory, and you go for a draw play. That was the most embarrassing, baffling call of the game, and that really was the end of the game for, I think, a lot of people.
It was
ridiculous.
Yeah, I would agree, and I would say this. Before the game, one of our competitors, different station, I was talking to him, and I said, look, I'll give you this. If we throw to our tight ends 4 or 5 times, I think we're going to win the football game. And he looked at me, and he goes, that's an interesting way to look at it. And I said, yeah, it'll tell me about how the game really unfolded. And you know who does that? You know who does that every single year, even now that Harbaugh's gone? Michigan Wolverines, who we play next week. You know who their leading receiver is? It's a tight end. He's got 19 for almost 200 yards. And then their third leading receiver is a tight end. He's got 5 for 60 yards. We've got all these tight ends. We have the opportunity to get them the ball. I think that if you're going to go away from the run and you're going to throw the ball, that's fine. But make the passes that are some of the easier passes for Brosmer as well. And we can't afford to lose the ball with 2 interceptions. Yeah. That was something that
was
with Iowa's defense and their ability, that hurt us a lot.
Well, I'd say the opposite side of not getting any turnovers really was even a bigger detriment to us. But, Pete, they did throw to the tight ends 4 times with 3 receptions, 1 big touchdown in the end zone for Jameson Gears. Really great catch. So they did.
Well, they got close. I mean, I think that's 4. One of those things where you've got to get 4 to 5. But why do we not do more of that then? If we have some success, why don't we do more of it? I've been baffled by this.
Maybe do that on 3rd and 10 when you're down 10. Instead
when you're down 10
running your ball play, which never worked.
Yeah, just get it over to the tight end.
The story of the game, though, guys, yes, that was an issue. The story of the game is they couldn't stop the run. Right. When it all comes down to it, they gave up 21 carries, 206 yards to Caleb Johnson, 272 total rushing yards, 272. They could not do anything about Iowa running the ball at all. There was not, linebackers, safeties were not getting into the box. They were not filling holes. It just was not there that entire second half and part of the first half. I don't know how you fix that going forward. I really don't know what you do at that point.
Got to move the chains, man. I'm just going to say you've got to move the chains, because there's one stat in football to me, Pete, that never lies, and it's always time of possession. And you look at the first quarter, and Minnesota had 9 minutes, Iowa had 5. Second quarter, Minnesota had 8.5, Iowa had 6.5. Third quarter, all of a sudden, Iowa's got 9 minutes of possession time, and Minnesota's barely got 6. And in the fourth quarter, Iowa has it for 10 and a half minutes, and Minnesota only has it for 4. If you can't get your the defense is, I was looking at one of the graphics yesterday, the defense is one of the best in the country right now. They're playing outstanding. Statistically, they're one of the best. But you cannot leave them on the field for 19 minutes in the second half. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it was hot, it was warm, it was all of those things. But I'll tell you what, the other part that's a little bit sad, guys, we're going to be going to the Big House. Do you know what they like to do? Run the football. I mean, they've got 2 running backs that are absolutely incredible. I'm not sure what we're going to do with the two-headed monster if what happened versus Iowa. There's going to be a lot of need to figure out, how do we stop the run? Do we have to start changing the defense around a little bit? Is there somebody that's weak that needs to get out and move somebody else in? I don't know, but Mullings and Edwards for Michigan are absolutely incredible. And one's averaging 8 yards a carry. The other guy's got a, pedestrian 4 yards a carry. Either way, these guys are going to run the football just like Iowa.
Charlie, it's 10:20. Why don't we switch and do the fast break now, since we're out of here at 10:28 today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Live radio, huh, guys? Live radio, half hour show. It's going. It's going.
The train is on the tracks.
Dave, you're going to be asking the questions today, aren't you?
I am going to ask the questions today. All right, gentlemen. Question number one. The Twins' collapse in the last month of the season has been epic. I mean, to the point where there's actually now like a better chance that they could miss. I think it's a 50-50 chance they miss the playoffs altogether, going down from close to 90% at the top of the month. Who is to blame more here, gentlemen? Charlie, I'm going to start with you since you're on mic. Do you blame this on Rocco? Do you blame this on Falveen? Or do you blame this on the ownership?
That's kind of easy, right? It's ownership. It's hard to say that sometimes, but it's absolutely. I'm not, you know, a Pollad hater. I think for the most part, they've gotten undue hate many times over. This time, when you come out and say it, when you say we're not going to give you reinforcements, you're just going to have to rely on whatever the heck you got going on. What is Falveen supposed to do about that? They can only do so much with the money they have. And Rocco, the same thing. He's also on a player management type of deal here, where he needs to make sure guys are as healthy as possible because he knows, hey, yeah, we got some guys at AAA, but that's it. That's all we got. We have no possible reinforcements at the trade deadline, and this is what we're going to have to deal with all year. So it's got to be on the ownership this time.
Yeah, I think it's a layup. I'm right there with you. I looked at this whole thing, and we've all talked about it. We talked about the trade deadline and all the rest of it, and should they have made some moves. And, you know, we might have differences of an opinion there, but part of the biggest problem is these guys just don't want to pay the money to get there. And if you look at the successful teams overall, yes, there's a lot of success on some of these teams that don't have huge payrolls, but they do pay the right people. And that's one of the things that I don't think that the Twins have really – been able to figure out, and the ownership has just kind of put Rocco and the rest all in a bit of a bind when they need certain positions and they're not actually given the opportunity to have that. That's, I think, hurting them in a big way, and that's why this collapse in September has been just embarrassing.
Yeah, mind you, I still think they're making the playoffs. I really do. Interestingly enough, Kansas City also only a game up on Detroit, half a game up on the Twins. Kansas City has as much of a chance of leaving the playoffs as the Twins do at this point. I still think they make it, but yeah, the reasoning behind this is they didn't have the reinforcements.
Mm-hmm. Pete, let's turn to you, NFL now. There are seven undefeated teams still at 2-0. Is there one team in the NFL so far that you look at that you are surprised that they're having the success that they're having so far this season?
Well, I'll give you one real quickie right out of the gate, which is I'm shocked to see if you look at the AFC North and you see the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens both 0-2. That's probably as shocking as anything. I think if I'm looking at and trying to break it all down, I'm happy to see this one. I like what I see out of the Chargers early on and what Jim Harbaugh has been able to do there. And he's bringing his old style back. He's got tight ends. He's got big people. He's got great draft picks. And I think that one is pretty interesting. And I think that one is probably one of my favorites that I'm looking at right now that nobody probably looked at as a playoff team. And now all of a sudden people are looking at them saying, wow, these guys got a defense and an offense. They've got a lot of key elements that could be a team that actually could get all the way towards the Super Bowl, at least maybe the AFC Championship game.
Yep. You know, I shouldn't be surprised by my answer, but I just consistently am. The Pittsburgh Steelers. You've got Justin Fields in at quarterback. Russell Wilson, I wasn't expecting to do much after what happened in Denver with him. And you don't even have him playing yet. You have, Justin Fields playing, who showed nothing in Chicago. And they're 2-0, and they've beaten some good teams, and the defense is still there, and it's Mike Tomlin, and they just keep finding ways to win. I shouldn't be surprised, but I am. I am, just based on the talent they have. So it's Pittsburgh Steelers for me.
The Minnesota Lynx open the playoffs tonight, Charlie. They are second in the WNBA. They host the Phoenix Mercury at 4:00 today. The Lynx have not won a championship since 2017, which is hard to believe when you consider how successful this franchise has been. They've won 4 titles. Is this the year the Minnesota Lynx bring it back home again and win the whole thing?
No. No, it's not. The Lynx are a very good team, and they're a very good team. I love watching them. They shocked me this year, to be honest. I mean, just based on the offseason additions, I thought, and what happened last year, I didn't see much happening for the Lynx this year. I think they can absolutely make the finals. And, you know, who's to say when you ever get to the finals, it could be a toss-up. But New York is so talented. This New York team this year just has everything that you look for in a championship-caliber team. I got to pick the New York Liberty if I were a betting man. I love the Lynx. I think they've had a great year, and it's not out of the realm of possibility by any means, but I see New York taking it home this year.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, though, right, guys? I mean, talk about unexpected to see how well they've really played, and it's incredible. Got to give credit to the coach. They've got great players, but I got to give all the credit to the coach and how she's done and how she's been able to manage all of the things that she's done and how they've gotten on these great streaks this year. It's been really, really an impressive year. To Charlie's point, if they get to the finals, all bets are off. They've got a really good shot at this thing, and I think that they probably can get there.
That's it for the Fast Break. I have one more question. What will it take, Charlie, to get you on the pickleball court with you, me, Pete, and let's say Josh Wheeler? You love pickleball.
Sure, yeah, sure. Love pickleball. The weekly paid segment. How about that? You out of your guys' pockets. Weekly I don't want this coming out of the station's coffer. This is from you guys.
That's fair. Well, if you don't know, if you haven't heard out there, this is Charlie's last show with us. He's got a big boy job. Charlie, would you like to share with a listening audience what's next for you, since you won't be hanging out with us anymore on Sunday morning?
It's a bummer. Like you said, I've got a the normal 9-to-5 right now, and that's what it is. I don't know what else is next. I'm looking into maybe some podcasting opportunities, maybe some other creative opportunities going forward here. You can follow me on Twitter at Radio Wiese, Wiese. I'll probably be posting some things there about my future endeavors if you are at all interested. But it's been an incredible time with you guys. I've learned so much. You guys have helped me out so much throughout these 3+ years now at WCCO Radio that I've at least been with Pete and Dave. 2+ years for you, I believe. So it's been one heck of a run.
I believe this is pretty darn close to our 2-year startup, right? Didn't we start around this time?
I think so. September, ago.
I think just about. And it's been fun every single week. But I'm not going to lie, I'm going to look forward to sleeping in past 6 a.m. on Sundays. Maybe making a big pot of chili next week. We'll see.
Can't blame you.
Love it, buddy. Hey, we're going to miss you. Good luck. Don't be a stranger. And call us every now and then to tell we're wrong, okay?
Absolutely. You know I'm going to be calling in when the Twins make the playoffs.
Love it. All right, everybody. Twins are up next. We'll be seeing you next Sunday.